Welcome to Asset Finance Connect's series of podcasts on the European asset finance industry. I'm Richard O'Donoghue, and throughout this year, I've been chatting to industry experts about the challenges and opportunities facing our industry in 2025 and beyond. As we enter December, we've lined up a few more guests to help us close out the year. As always, thanks to our sponsors, Alpha Systems, for their support throughout 2025, and we'll tell you a little bit more about them later in this podcast. So today, it's a pleasure to welcome Martin Series of Foxway to our podcast. Martin works in ITAD, IT Asset Disposition, at Foxway, and while he comes from outside the asset finance industry, our industry plays an important role in providing him with end-of-lease assets. Martin, thanks for joining me today.
Great, and thank you for the opportunity, Richard, and look forward to a very interesting conversation.
So do I. Maybe let's start with just introduce yourself, how you got into ITAD. Is ITAD, you know, an area when you were growing up as a small boy you always wanted to get into?
I sort of fell into it, much like other people, I guess, into computer land. And yeah, really interesting sort of background. So I've been in the industry around, well, now 27 years, and services space. So providing asset recovery / IT asset disposition services to channel partners, you know, manufacturers, strategic integrators, value-added resellers, lessors, and helping them with the return of use technology. In some cases, helping them build programs that manage the compliance specs and how do you actually, you know, manage the requirements of their end customers. That's, you know, in a very quick way, that's a bit about my background.
And now you're at Foxway, and I think many of our listeners will be familiar with Foxway, but maybe for those who aren't, can you tell us a little bit about the company?
Yeah, sure. So Foxway Group is headquartered in Sweden. We're around 1,200, 1,300 people now. We operate pan-European, so we have facilities across Europe, but we also support global customers around the world with some of the things we do. And we're split into three business areas. The first of those is our mobile business. That's headquartered out of Estonia. And that's typically working with the mobile operators, the large retailers across Europe to manage their trade-in programs, typically for consumer devices. We then have our circular workspace solutions business. And that is in effect, our leasing / device as a service business, but is linked into a full lifecycle asset management offering. That's from point of view of systems and how we deploy portals into end customers, how we manage the procurement of devices, how we manage the swap services, maintenance, warranty, all of those good things, levers and starters. And obviously that can also include the financing of devices where necessary as well, which is funded, typically funded externally, but then we manage all of those processes in between. And then we have the division which I reside in, which is called our computer and enterprise division. And we typically operate in that sourcing space of used technology and providing the ITAD services. So we obviously interact across our group, but we are also an independent business area within our company.
And for someone like me that's, you know, familiar with the asset finance side and the residual setting, but maybe not familiar with what goes on day to day in the services side of the business, maybe talk a little bit about, you know, what's your role at Foxway and what does it entail?
So my role in Foxway is I'm a director of the UK entity, and my responsibility is for our services business. So the global accounts, the global partners that we work with, my role is to work with those and my teams. So I have a sales team. I also have a service delivery team. I also am very closely aligned with our compliance side because that forms a very large basis to what we have to do with very large customers. And the role really is to solution what they require and then, dare I say, execute on that and make sure we deliver what we're committed to do.
And so you're working then to source equipment, but also, I guess, to refurbish, for want of a better term, and then sell it on.
Very much so. I mean, you know, you've got various aspects of this. You've got clearly, there's a point, and if we talk about in the finance sector, clearly if there are assets are on lease, at some point, some of them are going to come back. So how do you do that? And, you know, you're dealing with, you know, lots of different locations, home workers, big campuses. And so the mechanism to actually how you return those devices. And often customer can't do that on their own. Whilst, you know, they may have a contract that says, well, you need to return it to a central location in a particular country. What we find is they don't have that ability. The equipment hasn't got any packaging. people don't know why they do it. So we often add that little bit of value that can be then made available to that customer. Once those goods come back, all the other aspects as well as compliance, there's data erasure or data sanitization that we need to make sure that is done. We need to create a serialized inventory list of everything we've received because you've got to close out a lease schedule, for instance. And then you're into the grading, whether it's functional, cosmetic, has everything come back? One, is it what you expected? Secondly, is it in the condition you expected? And if not, what effect does that have on the value of that product? Or are there any charges potentially to be pushed back to that customer?
And again, very simplistic question. How do you source the equipment? Do you partner with OEMs or where does this equipment come from in the first instance?
Yeah, so typically, we operate in that corporate and public sector space, so aiming at those larger customers. And those customers are, clients of the partners we operate with. So for instance, some of the OEMs where we are one of their partners that provides asset recovery services within a leasing environment, we may be the partner that helps them liquidate the product once it's being returned. So really, we're looking to reach the largest customers globally, not just locally necessarily, to manage those returns processes. And then obviously what we aim to do is, one, to provide a compliance solution, but secondly is to optimize the value of those goods when we come to resell them.
And I guess, some of these suppliers have lots of different options as to who they might work with. What differentiates you? What's important to them?
Okay, that's a great question because it's the one that often comes up. And like many industries, we all do very similar things, of course. And whether you're manufacturing a device, it's a choice by the customer. But I think without going to detail of all the services, because I think they broadly, you're going to get the same solution from a respectable company that's got all the compliance standards. I think the difference, though, is, when we're looking to work with somebody, we're looking for a long-term relationship. Say that's more around a partnership rather than just a pure transactional one. Mm. The way we do that is, one, the advisory aspects of what we can do and help, how can we help them deliver a better solution, whether that's more cost-effective, whether it's operationally more efficient. And dare I say, ultimately, it's then to become a trusted partner. And I think if I said there was a differentiator, that to me is it. Can we trust you? Do we trust you? And that is the way we've certainly built our business, and I have over many years in the industry.
And I guess the fact that you've been in the industry a long time, relationships matter enormously, and you've worked with the same people, I guess, over multiple different cycles.
Yeah, it's interesting, is it, when you're at the beginning of your career, you're all very, very competitive. As you get older, you realize, hang on, I'm meeting the same people, but in different business environments. And I'm not saying clearly we all want to win, but actually what you also realize, hang on, this is a massive industry. And, whilst we may think we're a reasonable sized player in our market, at the end of the day, there's room for everyone. And certainly, along those years, you see people on the way up, you see them on the way down. And, I've had the privilege to meet some phenomenal people over my career. And a lot of people, certainly from my younger days, are now in very senior positions. So, it's very interesting in that respect.
And I think it's something we've discussed on these podcasts on multiple occasions, which is the partnership aspect, that we're in a market in asset finance where the attach rates or penetration rates are relatively low, particularly in technology. And, there's this huge area that we can all go and develop rather than just necessarily competing for each other in a very small area. And it sounds like, your business is broadly the same, that there's still a huge opportunity to grow this business as an industry.
Absolutely. And I think, if I think about, what we're about enabling the circular IT. And what I mean by that is, you're seeing companies say, well, can we get a one-for-one swap of a device coming out, a device going in? We're actually about, well, how could we handle a device multiple times in its life? And an example of that would be, okay, so we, within our devices as a service business, we could be renting a device from new. We will then get that device back in 36 months. We'll refurbish it and remanufacture that device. We'll rent it again for a further maybe 3 years. And then we'll get it back for a third time. And then we could look again, put that into the secondary market, or again, as an opportunity to manage that device. So, that's what we're about. But that requires, close partnerships with, OEMs. It's about looking at quality products. And dare I say, a lot of this goes back to this whole ESG space as well. If you go back to the beginning, conflict mining, minerals that we're going to run out of, modern slavery, all these issues that manufacturers have to deal with. And then you ally that to things like extended producer responsibility, making devices so they can now be repaired more easily. So all of those things come to fruition. And sorry, so I should say also add to that, you know, you've got governments now, and particularly say France, for instance, where there's a 20%, you know, of the goods you should buy in public sector need to be refurbished. So things like that are all adding to this change in the marketplace. And they, some of the sales cultures, I think, because historically we've all wanted to sell new. But actually, if you can look at, you know, there's lots of ways you can monetize this. And I think that's the piece we're playing in what Foxway does and what we can add and how we can partner even with OEMs to add more value to their models.
It's interesting. You brought up circular IT and you mentioned kind of sustainability and all of the reasons why that's important. And I guess, you know, at a geopolitical level, it's maybe somewhat out of favor at the moment. There's different opinions around it. And again, we've discussed this on the podcast in the past. I'm interested in your perspective, sustainability, when you're out talking to an OEM, whether you go with an economic message primarily and sustainability is the extra piece, or do you lead with sustainability and the economics is the secondary piece?
I think you can't ignore either, because actually sustainability is economic, because if you're not economic, you're not sustainable. So actually they do coalesce. But I think your point geopolitically, yeah, of course, there are certain countries, regions that are certainly more proactive in that ESG space. And obviously, clearly, we know Europe is. But what I can say is that the OEMs particularly, so the major manufacturers of the devices, they will all go to the highest point of, you know, compliance or whatever. Whilst it may not be what they lead with in particular regions, it certainly is still part of their model, because they're going to go to the highest denominator. So we do find, and actually if it's commercially effective and sustainable, then they're going to do it anyway, but they just may not term it in the same way that we do. And if I think back through the times, when we talk about circularity now and the ability to reuse devices, but actually we were doing that 25 years ago, but we called it something different. Difference to that today is the standards to which we can refurbish and remanufacture devices. Clearly, we've got way more technology. We can do it more cleverly and to a higher standard, and we can guarantee it. But I think that the ESG message, economic versus sustainability, they're always both in there. And so if you think about the end user clients that typically are the larger global customers, again, they've got the same challenge, because if they've got operations in Europe, for instance, then they've got the same compliance standards, they've got CSRD regulations to follow, so they need answers as well on some of these aspects, even if ultimately, of course, decisions are made commercially.
And now a quick word about our sponsors, Alpha Systems. Everyone knows that driving sustainability is a business imperative. The Alpha Systems platform offers solutions designed to support the circular economy in your asset finance operation. Comprehensive tools for end-to-end asset lifecycle management enable efficient second and third lives, extended product lifespans, and optimized refurbishment processes. Discover how Alpha can help you achieve your sustainability goals at alphasystems.com. That's alphasystems.com. And something else you mentioned, and this may be a really difficult question to answer, which is why I'm going to ask it. You mentioned sales culture, particularly in the OEMs, and traditionally salespeople are incentivized to sell new technology. Have you seen any best practices where that model is changing to encourage, you know, second, third, you know, life cycle for this technology?
Seeing and I'm aware of some of those conversations, because we're having them ourselves with some of the OEMs that we're working with. What I can say is, to some extent, demand-driven. Public sector in France saying that I need to be up 20% of refurbished, and the manufacturer has a direct relationship with them. What are they going to do? And of course, they want to try and find a solution for that. It's still relatively early days, I think, because yes, you're changing us new and all those good things. And now we're saying, well, actually, you've also got to now, you know, have some refurbished devices available. How are you going to do that? And so I would say the challenge the manufacturers have got is one from a point of view of how you build a program around that. And, you know, one of the things they're doing is they can overlay refurbished devices with their own warranty. You've got the second aspect is the use of the systems within the channels. So those systems that the distributors use to supply to the resellers, you know, because a reseller wants to use exactly the same portal to go onto to choose and select those devices, whether they're refurbished or new. And of course, behind that, you've got the various rebate mechanisms and things that are in place in the channel as well. So I think the piece that's probably missing is, yeah, how do you get that recognition into a sales environment? and dare I say, change that culture of how they sell. But there is no question, all of the OEMs have got the same challenge, but they are addressed. And I think we will see over the next couple of years some pretty sophisticated methods or enhancements to how they go about addressing this market. And dare I say, the biggest thing to them is, how do we monetize this?
Yeah.
Adding a warranty is one thing, but actually, what are the other things they could do? And funny enough, I think that's when you come back into financing as well, because, all right, now we could finance it as well. Why can't you finance a refurbished or remanufactured device? It doesn't have to just be new. So yes, I think there's hopefully part of an answer.
Yeah, no, that's as good an effort as I've seen anywhere else. And it is a difficult challenge. I think when you introduce any kind of new approach into a sales environment, you have to look at what is the impact to those salespeople and effectively to their compensation. And we've seen it with things like consumption models, again, been equally challenging because it requires a change in compensation plans. So I think your point about this taking time is a very valid one. Again, a very basic question. What happens to you? You've done all the refurbishment, you know, it's a almost new or nearly new machine. I don't know how you quite position it from a marketing point of view, but what happens to this technology? Where does it go?
You know, we obviously handle very, very significant volumes. What we're good at is making big volumes disappear in the market. And what I mean by that is that we don't simply say, well, we've got 10,000 of this model available and advertise it, because you immediately, of course, impact the value of that. What we're good at doing is that we're wholesaling this product, and we're wholesaling it into smaller traders, those that might operate e-commerce businesses, you know, organizations that can add another bit of value to perhaps that product. And what I mean by that is that, for instance, it could be, you know, loading a new operating system onto it. It could be some other form of refurbishment. And in fact, we even provide tools to help them do that as well. So we don't that we can do everything or want to do everything. We recognize that everybody has their part to play and might want to add their extra value. But for us as a business, I mean, we're typically managing 50 to 60 countries each month of product coming in, and then we literally have the same thing going out as well. What we'll find is there are different demands for different product type. So that's, you know, for instance, if we talk about, you know, the cloud space, and we're dealing with a lot of parts, there's clearly routes to market for those specific parts. We've then got, you know, computing devices and laptops and PCs. Again, that's typically going to be, you know, say Europe and UK markets. And then we get into that server storage networking space, which can be a bit more international. And again, into supporting perhaps maintenance companies who need to keep spare parts and all those good things. So it's quite diverse. But what I can say is it doesn't seem to be up to how much we receive. We don't seem to have a problem selling it.
Which is very encouraging that is the case. And it sounds like there's a lot of planning around this. It isn't a case of it just lands in the warehouse, you do your thing and then position it. I mean, are you out looking for specific products because you know there's a specific wholesaler or retailer that wants those products? Is it at that level of granularity?
To an extent, yes. But obviously, we're very mindful, and we're watching all the time about, you know, products being developed. Products are coming onto the market. And, you know, a good example is that AI hardware. You know, so right. New technology that's coming into the market, you know, we're thinking ahead, right? Well, you know, what's that going to look like? Where is the, how are the secondary markets for that going to develop? And it gets quite interesting, because if you think where that technology is starting, it's starting in the AI land with the biggest players that are typically marketing their services to large organizations. But what we fear is, well, as that technology evolves, its costs will come down, and it'll then open up secondary markets, as you know, and maybe to even companies like us that potentially want to dip our toes in the water. We may not want to buy new, we're not quite sure. We want to get into AI and the use of AI and create some really good use cases. And so we feel that that's where that market will start to develop. So that's the type of thing we're looking at. And then we're considering, okay, what sort of values? Because an AI hardware is a good example, because it is so, so expensive at this minute. So it's very high value. Right, what is it going to be worth in 3 years' time, 4 years' time, 5 years' time? And how? And also, how quickly is that technology going to evolve? I mean, it feels like Moore's Law at this minute, in the speed with which it could develop. And then we're also thinking about quantum computing. And what are these things going to mean? Back to more basics, fundamentally, everything that goes in has to come out. Is there likely to be a market for that? And, you know, I must admit that I've seen lots of different things over my years in the industry. You think, oh, good, will we even be here in the next 5 years? The truth is, You know, nothing changes overnight. It's amazing how there are so many different markets. And I think if you use an analogy, something like the car industry, secondhand cars, you know, people run cars for 50 years in some cases. Other times it's for 3 years. So IT, I'm not saying it runs for that long, but certainly a 10-year-old device can still operate and do. So I think, you know, there's plenty of opportunity, I think, still to look at all of those product category types and market those and provide solutions for them.
And do you notice regional differences or different cultural attitudes to technology? That maybe it's more a consumer thing, but I'm interested, does it also exist in the corporate world?
It does in terms of the sales piece, certainly the remarketing, as we call it. And so, yes, there is demand for, dare I say, probably lower specification equipment in certain regions. And that's simply right. The economics, the cost. And if you think about it, of course, that makes sense. So, you know, whether you're, you know, making technology available in, say, Africa or something where perhaps they don't have, they're not as mature, or they don't have as, you know, they're not, they don't have the economic basis to be procuring new all the time. That typically is because it's probably end users. So this equipment, you know, once it's used, is normally going to an end user through some sort of channel. And of course, end users may not have the funds to go buy, you know, a very brand new unit. And so the refurbish becomes a very affordable way of solving that.
And another topic, you mentioned it earlier, where OEMs overlay the sale of this with a guarantee. Is that something that you think will fundamentally change the industry? Does that encourage people to consider this more? Interested in your thoughts as to the value of that.
So I think, yeah, in the respect when we refurbish or remanufacture a device under their program, I think the difference is that, you know, and even for us as Foxway, yes, we have our own brand of refurbished. But in the scheme of things, most people are not going to know who Foxway are because we don't deal with consumers. Whereas you talk a Lenovo, a Dell, an HP, an Apple or a Microsoft, of course, they're huge brand names that are known worldwide. So I think if we start thinking about adoption of refurbished devices, it's the manufacturers that will create that adoption and demand. And I think, you know, it's not to say we won't be successful with our own program because we already are, but I think they will give the confidence that if it's backed by them with their warranty, then it's been through quite a strict process that meets, in effect, similar requirements of their own manufacturing processes.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, it comes back to things that the OEMs or manufacturers can do. You know, the warranty is a step in the right direction. We talked about sales compensation will probably be the next big step to drive this forward. I'm just want to finish up with a couple of sort of questions as well, kind of maybe broader questions. New technology launches, so iPhone 17, is that good or bad for your business?
It can be good for the business. And iPhones are actually a great example because with Apple, particularly given it's so dominant, as is Samsung, of course, you know, they release a new model. And it's very, it must be difficult. I mean, you know, how do you, it's already a very good product. You've now got to add some more features to create the next demand. And so you don't quite know, and I'm sure they don't either, each time they do this, how successful is it going to be? And of course, that has an immediate effect or very quick effect on, right, are people now going to trade in their old devices? And it's more relevant probably to consumer mobile devices probably than any other type of technology, I think. And if that iPhone 17 is a success, then of course we're going to see a big increase in traded in product. And the beauty of that, of course, then is that we already know we'll have a good market for the secondary product as well. Plenty of or massive people that are prepared to buy a refurbished mobile phone. And I guess if you then move into the computing space, seeing a similar trend, you know, that people are prepared to buy a refurbished laptop, whether it be an Apple Mac or whether it be a, you know, Dell, HP, Microsoft, Lenovo, and we think that'll follow. The only difference I would say is on the computing space is we're starting to see this adoption by business customers to procure those items, as opposed to, say, a mobile device, which typically is a consumer device bought by an end user.
Great. And again, not necessarily linked to the previous question, I'm just kind of throwing various random thoughts out at this point. But you mentioned earlier, you know, you're 25 plus years in the industry. What's changed over that time? How has the industry evolved?
I mean, if I think back to when I started, it was interesting in that there wasn't really a service as such. Right. You know, we used to, when I first started, it literally was, there was a business customer who had a few hundred PCs or a few thousand PCs. What will you give me for them? And I remember literally with my first year or so as we started to build out this service offering, and it was because customers started to ask about, well, what about data? You know, what do you do to manage the data risks? What about environmental? You know, and how you recycle devices that are obsolete or don't work. So that is actually how we built that service model. And you know, you forget how, you know, sometimes without thinking back to that, you know, how much has that changed? Well, clearly it's got a lot more sophisticated. I mean, if I think about, and particularly as you start to do with larger and larger customers, and as we've, you know, as I had the privilege to do, which was to work with very, very large partners, where compliance became a very big part of their business. They wanted certainty that if you say this, it's what you do and how do you evidence. So things like all certification standards that became very necessary. They had their own audit team, still do, that will audit you to evidence what you say. So, and of course, that's because some of their end customers are doing that as well. If I think, you know, the difference perhaps over the last couple of years now we're seeing is this move into cyber risk. And clearly that is quite a big game changer in terms of, right, what are all the other things? And that's not just a point of actually handling a device. It's actually how do you protect the data that you're using in your processes? So whether that's how we contact a customer, how we manage, you know, where we're storing that data. So that has definitely become more complex. And there's a lot more assessment we're starting to see evolving around that space. But I think that's a good thing. We need to, you know, protect ourselves, our business, and dare I say individuals. So that's probably the biggest change. I think environmentally, there's always been a very good recycling, quite a mature industry that needs the materials that we take from non-working devices. So I don't think that's necessarily changed too much. But yeah, definitely the compliance piece has, and especially around cyber.
And interesting that you mention, you know, the way services has developed is largely driven by customer conversations and engagement and partnerships where customers bring you the ideas you might not have otherwise considered. And yeah. And it kind of brings me to my last sort of question, which is, this is a podcast where mainly it's people from the asset finance industry that are going to listen to it. What opportunities are there for them and their companies to engage with Foxway? How could you partner?
Yeah, so, and we have a number of ways we're already doing that. So it could be, you know, in a traditional leasing model, we're simply there as an end of lease provider of those services, because at some point those devices have got to go back somewhere. They need to be tested. They need to be graded. You need really good reporting. And you've got service levels around that because it's critical you get those off the lease schedules, stop, prevent the next rental if necessary. So there's a lot of work we do around that space. The other thing we do is we get involved in setting the residual values, and we're prepared to take commitments on those as well. So we'll help support that mechanism. And then there's other, which I think is going to get interesting, is around this refurbishing manufactured pieces, which is where we could also introduce either directly to them, to their customer, or through, if they're working with a channel partner, refurbished and remanufactured devices. And of course, we're prepared to also put a residual value on those as well. So we can meet those requirements for those customers that are starting to say, well, hang on, we don't just want new, we want some refurbished. Again, so that's quite new. And if you want to take it one stage further, then it's, well, all right, but now how do you manage the life cycle of those devices? So if you're talking about, you know, levers, starters, swap services, all of those good things. So again, we can overlay those as well, if that's something you'll be interested in.
Great. Well, look, it's been a real pleasure having you on the podcast. It's been very educational for me. And I guess one of my takeaways is it's a very sophisticated business. It's evolved a lot over the last 25 years, but actually the next 10 years may be even more interesting as we move forward. As you mentioned, you know, with AI, you mentioned sort of the sustainability angle, the opportunities where maybe OEMs get more actively engaged with this and set their processes and their compensation schemes up to support this. So in fact, we will probably see an acceleration of this business over the next 10 years relative to the last 25, which was exciting enough. And, It'll give us material for a future podcast, I suspect, and it'll keep you engaged in the industry, Martin.
Yeah, no, I hope it does. And I think, yeah, and I think that, you know, the trend we probably see, and particularly around the whole ESG space, is that we believe it will be the higher quality manufacturers which will survive all this and remain dominant. Therefore, we don't necessarily see them selling less because we think that'll be at the expense of the quality manufacturers disappearing out of the market because they can't produce things that are repairable, that last long enough. And I think that's a good thing for us. I mean, you know, We can't keep producing things that we can't sustain.
So now the big debate is, who are the high quality manufacturers and who are the less high quality? But that's definitely a topic for another podcast. But listen, thank you so much for joining us today. As I said, it's been great to learn a little bit more. And I'm sure lots of our listeners will have picked up things that they didn't know about this industry. So again, appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Asset Finance Connect, sponsored by Alpha Systems. While I've had many different experiences in the asset finance industry, I've never worked in the end of lease or remarketing sides of our industry. It was therefore interesting to get insights on remarketing, refurbishment, and the circular economy from Martin, given that he has spent almost 30 years in this area. One thing that really struck me in the conversation was Martin's focus on partnerships. He spoke about the size of the remarketing industry and used a great phrase, "There's room for everyone." As an industry, I think we're sometimes guilty of trying to do everything ourselves when focusing on our real differentiators and partnering in other areas might lead to better outcomes, both for our own businesses and our customers. If you've enjoyed this podcast, we'll have one or two more before we close out 2025. So look out for those. Thanks for listening.